Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. So thank you for joining me here on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And today, I'll be talking about the upcoming readings for this coming first Sunday of Lent. And the particular topic is one of my favorites. It's, you know, the first temptation, the original sin when Adam and Eve fell. I'm going to give a perspective that many people may not have heard, but which is very biblical, of course, and in line with Catholic teaching. And the other reading, actually the gospel, is the three temptations of Christ. And I'm also going to give another unique perspective on those three temptations, which actually, from my perspective, is trying to figure out one's identity. So the devil's trying to find out the identity of God, of Jesus. Was he really a man? Was he an angel? Or was he truly the Son of God? And at the same time, that gospel reading is also meant for us in our battle of our life, trying to figure out our identity. Are we all about ourselves? Are we all about others? Are we all about God? Hopefully, we are all about God, that we reflect Him, that they don't see us, they see God in us. So, like, as we always do on this program, let's start off with the Our Father prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, some of you may have caught that last part where I said, instead of saying deliver us from evil, I said deliver us from the evil one. It's because that's also an accepted translation that's also said in the Catechism and also in the notes of the Bible. Because evil is not a concept. Evil is a person by the name of the devil, right? Just like goodness, truth, goodness, and beauty, that's God himself. That's Jesus himself. He is truth. He's the light itself. And so when I name this program Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, that part where I say we're delivered through the Our Father prayer, that's exactly what I mean. The Our Father prayer is a deliverance prayer that we use to help deliver our own self from any of the clutches that the demons and the devil is trying to tempt us into sin. And we are all sinners, right? And that's why we need a Savior. That's his name. Jesus means Savior. And that's who we need. And that's who we call upon. And today's reading and gospel really is just highlights everything that we need to know as far as about why God came and sent his son to us. If any of you are out there that have the ability to call us, whether you're at home and you can dial and call into the station and you want to share something with us, an insight, a commentary, if you had a question or you had a prayer request, to please call in to WTMR. The number is 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. 978. Again, hopefully we'll get a call here. It's always nice to hear from somebody out there. And whether you're driving on the car, in the car, or you're, you know, just listening or streaming on your phone or your computer, please call in if you can. I'm just really happy that you're tuning in. We have a lot of various choices out there, you know, that's very easy and tempting to watch, whether you're going to go on YouTube or you're going to go on TV or what have you, or just, you know, watch a movie or, you know, go on social media. I know those are very entertaining and probably you think that way better than what you can listen to me here, but I have something really unique to share that's usually not shared, you know, at the church homily or at various talks, unless you come to one of my talks or you invite me to speak at one of your places. But anyway, so let's get started here. So let's get started with the first reading for this coming Sunday's Advent, right? The first Sunday of Advent, just so we all get to know the background. It's kind of long, but again, we need to read this part, and I'm going to get started now. It says, "The Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground, and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And so man became a living being. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord made various trees grow that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now the serpent was most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made. The serpent asked the woman, 'Did God really tell you not to eat from any of these trees in the garden?'" Now I'm going to pause right there. That's halfway through. Now some people think this reading from Genesis is symbolic, and it might be. And others may think it's actually literally true. And that's where I come from. You know, it could be a combination too. But as far as what I come from, because, you know, I was officially part of the Exorcist ministry in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, you know, I had some training, of course, but I also have a lot of experience of biblical studies. And so just in the Exorcism ministry, you know, animals can be possessed. And so, you know, a friend of mine who was also in the exorcism ministry, he saw this, but not me. He saw it was that, it sounded like it was at a Boy Scout, camping event. And he saw so I'm not saying it was Boy Scouts, but I'm saying it seemed to be like one of those events where there was a lot of people camping out there, and whoever was speaking in front of the crowd, he turned in front of their eyes, he turned into a jackal and started running around the people. In other words, he shapeshifted, and then he came back and went in front of the people again and shapeshifted back to his human form. So when I read this, being in the exorcism ministry, and actually hearing demons speak out loud to me and the exorcist and so forth coming out of the person, when I see that the serpent is talking, to me, that can very well be, can happen. But to others who haven't had this experience, they will say, oh, that's just symbolic. And it can be. But I'm just talking from experience being in the ministry and from knowing people who have also seen this with their very eyes. Now, so continue on here. The other thing is the point that I wanted to say is if we entertain the possibility that a serpent can be possessed by the devil, then it would make sense that the serpent can talk. And the other thing is that what we learned in the exorcism ministry is you never want to talk with the demons or the devil. You never, you know, want to establish any kind of relationship. So, in fact, that's why the first commandment is the worst commandment you can ever break, right? There's only one God, and we should worship him. So when people go to, you know, a medium, right, a fortune teller, use tarot cards or something of that sort, where you try to establish relationships or have this necromancy talking with the dead, you know, and then you may see a spirit that you don't want to talk with that person. You really don't. I mean, we have biblical history there of Saul, King Saul, making that mistake. And so here is the woman, Eve, talking with the serpent to the point that she is trusting the serpent more than she will trust God and trust her husband, Adam. So if we continue on, it says the serpent asks the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat from any of these trees in the garden?" Now, here again, you can see that whether you believe this is truly symbolic or truly literal or a combination of both, and I guess I would have to refine my answers that it's a combination of both, but I want to nuance this, and not nuance it, but just make it very clear that it is a Catholic belief that we do have original parents, Adam and Eve, that were human beings that were formed by God. So it's not a myth. So we definitely do not believe it's a myth and a made up story. But what I'm saying is that symbolically that there was a true Adam and Eve who committed an original sin, and those who believe that the symbolic nature of a serpent or that's where they're coming from. What I'm coming from is the combination. Well, what's the underlying meaning behind all this? In addition to the literal sense. So the literal sense is saying that when this serpent, just like the devil himself, would put doubt in our mind and question God and his goodness. And this is exactly what the serpent is doing with the woman. Did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees of the garden? Now, this is a pointed question. It's actually, there's another point to it, because if you think about it, God, if you read carefully Genesis, that God actually told Adam this only. He didn't tell this to Eve. Eve was not created yet at this point. God told Adam this. So when Adam then relayed this to Eve, that's how she knows this, most likely, because we don't have it in Scripture that God told both Adam and Eve. He told Adam. And so in one sense, Eve can answer the serpent that, yeah, God didn't tell me. He told Adam. And haven't you heard these kind of excuses, whether it's your spouse or, you know, a friend or a boss or somebody that said, well, you didn't tell me, so it doesn't apply to me. Well, she could have easily used that as an excuse. And the devil also knew that. So he gave her two excuses. One excuse to say, well, yeah, God didn't tell you directly. He told Adam. And so, you know, why do you have to follow God if he didn't tell you? So that could be one slippery slope that the devil is posing to the woman. And the other is that he makes her doubt. It makes Eve doubt about eating this fruit to eat from the tree of the garden. And then here the woman answers the serpent. But then if you remember, when Adam was created, God had Adam name all the living creatures, and Adam had them come to them, and he named them, right? He named it with, you know, you're an eagle, you know, you're a fish, you know, whatever, you're a cow, you're a pig, you know, you're a bear. But none of these were suitable for him, right? And that's when God made a helpmate. And so God knows that Adam named the animals. He was in charge. He put him in an authority. And he knows that the animals don't talk. And when God created Eve, those are the first words that Adam responded, that, you know, that at last, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, right? When he saw this, that this is the one at last, you know, that's for him. and that she could, you know, she could speak and she's like him. They were both made in the image and likeness of God. So they both also know that animals don't speak, which raises a question about Disney, about also how we as kids growing up, you know, whether you're growing up in the 60s or 70s and so forth and watching, you know, Disney on Sunday nights, that, you know, they would make it so cute that, you know, these animals speak, but in reality, we know that they don't. But one of the ploys is we know that Disney in the past had put some really subconscious images on their cartoons that were, if not nasty, overtly, or had some words there that were literally nasty, or images that were nasty, that, you know, appearing as, you know, smoke with letters spelling out words, or turrets of a castle, you know, looking like something that they shouldn't. You know what I mean? I mean, you can watch some of these podcasts, you know, whether it's Sean Ryan talking to one of the other exorcist assistants who's a friend of mine, you know, talking about all this stuff. So my point is that it comes here, it's very tricky. So, you know, people always have some disagreements about what Disney has become and what they're showing. But a lot of it stemmed from way back when, with it seemingly innocent making the animals talk. Here it is, going back to Genesis now, we have this serpent talking to a human, and both Adam and Eve knows that they don't talk. Yet, later on, we'll see that Adam was actually next to Eve. And he didn't stop Eve. He didn't say, wait, whoa, Eve, don't be talking to that. Serpents don't talk. This is totally strange. Get away. You know, honey, like, get away, move. Like, you know, I'm here to protect you. No, he didn't do that. He let his woman, he let her, the pinnacle of God's creation. Remember, Eve was the last, he was the woman that was created, right, on the last day, on the sixth day of creation. Adam wasn't the last of his of the masterpiece of his creation. It was Eve, right? And so he's allowing Eve to have a relationship, a talking relationship, a conversation with an animal that's not supposed to speak. Shouldn't that freak you out? Tell me about there. I mean, again, if you see something, if your dog starts speaking to you, your cat literally starts speaking to you, I'm not talking about your parakeet, your parrot, okay? Wouldn't that, like, freak you out? I mean, not to say one word. I know there was this YouTuber called Kiffness, and he would make songs, you know, for his cat, you know, saying that, I'm alone, sometimes I'm alone, sometimes I'm not, you know. It was really hilarious. You know, and again, this is how, you know, we also have some levity for sure. But at the same time, we know it's a joke. Here, this is not a joke. The serpent was cunning and got the woman to respond. It's kind of like those phone calls you get, you know, where they're vishing. They make a phone call. Has any of you got that? Come on. And some of you must have got the phone call, where you get the phone ringing, you pick it up, and you hear nothing on the line for like 3 seconds. But that's the tip off. They're waiting for you to say hello, right? So they could tape your voice, get a signature of your voice, and use it. And then they'll come on and they'll say, "Can you hear me?" And then once you say yes, then they're going to use those words to trap you, as if they got audible proof of you saying yes to whatever they're selling, and they're going to use that as evidence. So it's kind of like that. But here is the devil. He's wanting you ask the woman a question, making her doubt, making her think that, well, yeah, God didn't tell me directly. He told Adam. And so the woman falls for the trap. She responds. So just like when somebody calls you on the phone and for 3 seconds they're silent, don't fall for that trap. Just hang up. Forget that. Okay? So here she answers now. She answers the serpent, and she says, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It is only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, you shall not eat or even touch it, lest you die. Now, guess what? God never said to Adam that you will die if you touch it. He never said that. He said, you shall not eat of it. And so the thing is, when a person starts embellishing something, add words to a story that wasn't there, or add words to, you know, an account, because I don't want people to think that this is a story, a myth, that this is a true account, okay? That we had a true first parents, okay, that we were, that God created and that we all descended from. So anyway, so she embellished and she added to this account. God never said that. And so now the devil realizes and sees that she is now falling deeper into sin by first talking with a possessed serpent, by and then adding to something that wasn't there in what God said, and then the serpent then responds and says, "But the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die." Now there you go. There's his lie. Remember, God is life, the truth in life, whereas the devil is a liar and a murderer from the start. And so the devil goes on, he says, you certainly will not die. Now, he was partially right and partially wrong, of course. Partially right in the sense that physically you won't die on the spot. But he was partially wrong in that we will die in the future, come how many years later. But also, what he didn't reveal is that their spiritual soul will die immediately, you see? And so anything that's half truth is half a lie, and a half a lie is a lie in total. For instance, you don't have to drink a full glass of poison for you to die. You just have to have like 99% water with just a touch of poison, and you'll die. So it doesn't have to be, you know, 10%, 50%, 99%. It's just a touch. The same thing with a little lie is enough to call the whole thing off, that it's untrue. All right? So he goes on now and says, the devil says, you certainly will not die. No, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like gods, who know what is good and what is evil. Now, wait a second here. He's like a tricky salesman that's saying that you will be like, that you will have your cake and eat it too, that you can have this. But the tricky part of this sales is that they are already like God. The thing is, let's look at the words again. It says, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be open. That's true. Their eyes will be opened. And this is why many people like to tempt others to keep your mind open, right? Or your eyes open. There's truth in that. But also you got to watch out, because the next sentence says, and you will be like God, with the lowercase g. Now, he just spoke falsely, because there's only one God. But he said, you will be like God. But they are already like capital G God. Why? Not that they're God, but because God made Adam and Eve in his image and likeness. They were actually like the angels too, that they would not die. So what benefit would they have of eating this fruit when they are already like God? And so the devil is a liar and a murderer from the start. He knows it's going to kill them, that their soul will die. Physically, they will die later on, how many years later. I don't know if they live till 900 and something years. I forget the exact age that both of them died. But the other thing is that they were going to live forever. So what kind of deal was this, that he's saying that you'll be like God, but they are already. So what? There's nothing to trade here. So this is like it is the worst thing that can ever happen to our parents and for us. So it goes on, it says that that you will know what is good and what is evil. Now, for you know, there is something to be said about knowing what is good from what is evil. So, of course, so we can do what is good. However, with that said, what is better than knowing good and evil? Actually, it's to be obedient to God. Because if we look at the New Testament, John, the beloved apostle, says in his epistle, first John and second John, it says, you know, if you love God, you will obey him. If you love God, you will obey him. And so that's the thing. This was a test of their love for God and trust in him. And so it goes on, and it says that now Eve, there's another thing about to knowing what is good and what is evil. The other part of it is this, and it kind of relates to some of the stuff going on. The hot button topics are, you know, the Epstein files, right? So if everybody was clamoring here to see these files, and they even gave the website where you can put in search names in there to see who's in it and who's not, and so on and so forth. And if they find somebody's name, well, let's see if we can dig up some dirt, or let me see some pictures, let me see some videos. Well, I mean, that is available for everyone to look at if they want to. But again, the point that I want to make is that in reference to where it says, you know, what is good and what is evil, we know what was done there was evil. Do we really want to have what we call carnal knowledge? Do we really want to know, like, the gory details of how these things were done? And we're going to get caught up in that. In other words, sometimes people, like I remember when I went to the Wharton Business School, okay, and I was with a group of people, and they wanted to have a bachelorette party. And I thought, but it wasn't just for, it was for, a classmate who's going to get married, but they're inviting men and women. And so it sounded like it was just going to be a regular get-together. It wasn't going to be a crazy party, like just all girls. And so, you know, I just brought a wedding gift because this group of people lived outside of the United States. I mean, there were foreigners that came in, and I was invited and wanted to come in. And so what it turned out to be was, you know, the party was just like I thought. It looked like a nice, you know, a lot of sharing of food and stories and, you know, singing and stuff. And now out of the blue said, hey, let's watch a show called Gladiator. And I was like, Gladiator, like why in the world in a bachelorette party do we want to watch that movie with Russell Crowe, you know, with the Romans and all that. And so I'm like, we're sitting around the screen, the TV, and I'm like next to the TV, and I really can't see it. I have to, because I'm virtually next to the TV, looking to the people surrounded there, and I'm kind of just, you know, turning my neck to see it. Anyway, when I see it, they're playing porn, and I'm like, what? And I quickly just get up, and I said, what is this? And I was appalled, and I just start, and I said, why are you playing this? And they said, this is the only way that she's going to know what to do. And I'm saying, like, what? That's first of all, I told them, you know, that it was wrong. And I said, I'm going to get out of here. I'm not going to watch this stuff. But the person at that house was really defending himself, saying, well, how else will she know what to do? And I'm thinking, really? You got into the Wharton School? You know, this is like the one of the best schools in the world, and you telling me that she won't know what to do on the wedding night? This is carnal knowledge that's evil. This is not what we need. And so I just left. I didn't care. I wasn't going to be a part of this stuff. Anyway, I'm at the bottom of the hour now, and so we're going to continue this discussion. Hopefully, you know, I've got you wanting more, and you'll call in possibly. So here's the number if you want to call in. The number is 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and finish up on Genesis. All right. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on Science Healed Delivered. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And we're on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And we were just talking about the first reading for this coming Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent, which talks about Genesis. And Adam and Eve, our first parents, and original sin. So what I was just finishing up on was how I got tricked into starting to watch the beginning of a porno show for somebody's bachelorette party, and I just decided to leave at the very beginning when I found out that's what it was, because I didn't want that carnal knowledge. So my point here, how am I tying this in with Genesis, was because, again, when the devil is tempting the woman and saying that God, it says that you will know what is good and what is evil, well, the devil was tempting the woman. So here I was in this bachelorette party, which women and men were invited. So there was an equal number of men and women at this party. And it turned out the very beginning was fine and great, you know, just food. You know, there was, you know, a lot of good conversation. There was a little singing. There was music. And then, you know, like, then devolved into that, where I just quickly got out of there, had my say, and just got out there. I was like, my hands were shaking and trembling because, you know, I'm going to see my classmates again. They're going to think, like, what, were you holier than thou? No, it's not that I'm holier than thou. It's that I know what, I don't want that in my eyes and my ears. And just, even in that slight moment, those first few seconds, I mean, that I don't remember exactly that, but just the environment, that I just hated it. So I can imagine this environment right here where this slippery serpent is talking when serpents don't talk. It's possessed, in my opinion. And the woman is engaging in a conversation with something that's possessed. And the husband, Adam, doesn't step in and protect his bride? That, like, blows my mind. So the shout out to any man who protects his woman, any husband that protects his wife and his children from any of the evil that comes through the TV, on Netflix, on Prime Video, on Instagram, on, you know, Snapchat and what have you, all this TikTok. You know, you dads out there, you got to step up. You got to make sure you protect your wife, your children, And so in this where this point, you know, we go further in the reading that I'm going to skip a few lines, but it says that she, meaning Eve, took some of its fruit, some of it. Remember, she took some of its fruit, not just one, some of its fruit, and ate it. So not only did she just take one, touch it, and eat it, she took some, meaning not a couple, so maybe there's like three, all right? And she ate it, and she gave some to her husband, and it says here specifically who was with her. So he was a silent accomplice to this great sin, and he ate it, okay? And so here's the problem with Adam, was that he could have said, no, he could have told Eve, you know, not to do this, right? And he could have refused. So the sin is called the sin of Adam, even though Eve was the one that was tempted. So she was the one that was tricked. She was Eve was deceived, where Adam was disobeyed. And that's why it fell on Adam. He's the head of the household. He's the husband. He failed his duty to protect his wife, his woman, his family. Because literally, they're a family. Husband and wife is a family, all right? And so he was an accomplice, but it was his fault, and that's how we know it in history. And so now what happens is that the eyes of them were both opened. In other words, that they now have shame that they were naked. And it says here they realized that they were naked, and so they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. Now, here's one thing that maybe some people may not have heard at a homily or on YouTube or a conference, but, you know, the thought is, well, what was that fruit that they ate? And because that they sewed fig leaves, you would think about it, if they found themselves naked, all of a sudden their eyes open and they saw that they were naked, they would grab what's closest to them. So if you think about it, if you're in the bathroom and you thought the door was closed and one of your kids came in or somebody else came in, let's say you're in the public bathroom, right? And somebody, and the door didn't lock properly and you came in, like, wouldn't you grab something close to you to cover you? Yes, you can put your hands over yourself, but you can grab something else, you know? And so it has to be close to you. So people were thinking, well, if they grabbed the fig leaves, maybe the fruit was a fig. You know, so that's a thought. Where the other thought is it was an apple, right? Because the Latin word for apple is also for evil, malus. So, you know, that's, you can use it either way in the neuter form or the feminine form or the other form. So neuter or not neuter. And so it can be considered how you want to translate that, as evil or apple. So that's the other thought. You know, there's other thoughts there. Could it be pomegranate? Can be, you know, something else. Here's the other thing that I wanted to add that was something different from what you might have heard, that this comes about how later God sews for themselves leather skins to cover them. In other words, he exchanges the fig leaves for animal skins. And you may wonder, well, big wow, Dr. Anton. Well, as a doctor, I'm not a dermatologist, but as a doctor, fig leaves, I find out, can cause really bad rashes and really bad swelling and redness. And if they put it on places where the sun don't shine, so to speak, it's going to be red, hot, burning, and itching. So God, in his goodness as the divine physician, wants to make sure those fig leaves are immediately taken out of those private parts. You see, you get my drift there? So here's the other part. So not only does he take it away right away, he makes them, he tailor makes them, you know, these leather skin garments, which actually could be considered the first animal sacrifice. So how did he get those skins? And so this actually might be the origin why the Jews had to do animal sacrifices for sin. So think about it. God kills the animal, has blood coming from the animal because it got killed and skinned. He takes the skin, he fashions them, and he's the best designer ever, right? Better than who knows all these other designers, Ralph Lauren and you name it, Gucci and such. So here's God, the great designer, fashion designer, gives them these leather skins. But he had to do this by a blood sacrifice, right, to cover their sin. And so what did Adam and Eve most likely learn from this? That they wanted to copy and follow God the Father of whenever their sin, they too needed to do animal sacrifice and cover the sins of their descendants, because that's what God gave them the example. Now, this is just something that I'm surmising, you know, but it, to me, it makes sense here. So, you know, that God made the first animal sacrifices, took the skins, made it for to cover up their sins, and now mankind did so until Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had himself flogged, himself scourged for all our sins. And he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So we don't have to do those bloody sacrifices anymore. That's why the temple was destroyed. The second temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 70. And that's why there are no more sacrificial sacrifices anymore that the Jews have. So anyway, that is all that I'm going to talk about for Genesis. And I'm going to switch over. That was the first reading for the Sunday of Lent. Any callers out there? Again, the number here is 856-962-8178. Again, 856-962-8178. All right, so the gospel, you know, is about the three temptations of Christ. And the way that I'm going to frame this is that it's really about, if you really listen to hopefully what I'm saying, and you go, then you're inspired to go look this up in Scripture. It's Matthew 4, and you can also look at the parallel verse in Luke 4. It's kind of easy, okay? Matthew 4 and Luke 4, all right? So if you want to know about these temptations of Christ, it's the very first chapter. But it's really about identity. You know, how our culture is really trying to figure out its own identity, whether, you know, I'm a football fan, a Eagle fan, and it was all about, well, what's our identity? And we blew it this year, you know. Identity was we lost. We couldn't figure out who we were, you know. And so in the same way, when we figured out who we were last year, we became champions, right? Right? And so same thing here. We have people struggling with their identity. We don't know what good is from evil, but that doesn't mean we should disobey God to know that good and evil. We should trust in what he says, and he gave us the commandment. So now we know what's good, and now we know what's evil. What's good is the Ten Commandments. We know what's good is, you know, the Beatitudes. We know what's good is God's Word in Scripture. The Holy Bible is good. The teachings of the Catholic Church, the Catechism, the church that Jesus Christ founded is good. And so the teachings through the Catholic Church, which is his bride, is good. So so we also would know that the opposite of those teachings would be evil. So we really don't need to know, carnal knowledge and other kinds of evil. So whether you're interested in going through those Epstein files and digging in there, or digging into all these things about, well, what's a third eye about, that supposedly Charlie Kirk had, and astral projections. Those are stuff of the occult. Those are stuff of, you know, that the kind of people that we end up seeing in the exorcism ministry who have problems. In fact, that those are prayers that we have against those who have occult knowledge, those who have the third eye, those who have, you know, this astral projections. And so what here we're having in the gospel, Matthew 4 or Luke 4, about the three temptations, is really is how the devil is just trying to discover Jesus' identity. What do I mean by that? He tests God, Jesus. because he doesn't know if Jesus is just a human, like a great prophet, or was he an angel, or was he God himself? So those are how the three questions are posed in Matthew. So the first question he's trying to figure out, is he a human? And so he asks, but then some of you out there will say, wait a second, Dr. Anth, I know you're not a theologian, you're not a priest, you're not a deacon, you're just a doctor, you're just a guy in the pew. So who are you? Well, so what are you saying here? It says here in Scripture, the devil said, if you are the Son of God. So right there and there, Dr. Anton, it says he's thinking he's the Son of God. But then I'll say, wait a second. Because in Scripture, the word Son of God is used actually to describe people, describe prophets, to describe the nation of Israel. In fact, it's also used to describe angels, and it's used to describe the Son of God. So if you just do the search of the Son of God, it can be sons of God or the Son of God. It could be applied to any of those three, humans, angels, or God himself, the Son of God. Because if you think about it, angels were created on the first day of creation, and they were made in the image and likeness of God. Because God is a spirit, but also God, Jesus, is man and God. So when he made humankind, Adam and Eve, they're also, sons and daughters of God. So both angels and humans are sons and daughters of God. So that's why the devil's first question was to determine, well, which one are you? And he asked, he says, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread. Now, ask yourself, does God, who is a spirit, does he need to eat? No. So would he be hungry? Physically, no, because God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, is a spirit and would not need food to eat. And same with angels. Angels would not need to eat. They're pure spirits. Only a man, a human, would need to eat. But at the same time, when he says, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread, he knows also humans cannot, they don't have power. They don't have power to change a stone into bread. They don't. So either he's a great prophet who calls upon the power of God to change it, then he knows that at least, oh, he's a great prophet, because God doesn't need to eat food. The angels don't need to eat food, and the devil knows that. The devil is a bad angel. He didn't need to eat food, but a human does. But he wants to know, well, okay, is this human a human that can't change it, or is he a human that's going to curry favor from his guardian angel or from God to change it for him because he's just a human? Well, God fights this temptation by using the sword of the Spirit. And what is the sword of the Spirit? As it says in Ephesians, if I remember my scripture right, that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And so he quotes Deuteronomy. He quotes Deuteronomy 8. And so this is what you got to do, brothers and sisters. Again, I have direct experience in spiritual warfare in the exorcism ministry for many years now, since, 2018. Kathleen McCarthy has done this for how many years? What is it, 50 years of being in this kind of battle. I've just been in it since 2018. And so she knows, also how Scripture is the sword of the Spirit. So again, here the Lord says, man does not live by bread alone. Here in Matthew it says, one does not live by bread alone. But also if you look at, in the RSV, the Revised Standard Version, the Catholic edition there, it does say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the answer here, when Jesus says man does not live, now the devil's thinking, well, wait a second, he's speaking as if he's just a man. Because the first word he said was, man shall not live by bread alone. So those as if he's saying, well, look it, I'm just a man, and we can't live alone except by the word of God. You see, and notice that the stone didn't become bread. So the devil's now thinking, like, see, he's just a man. Because he's not even a regular prophet, because he couldn't get the angel of God to change the bread, the stones into bread. So he's just a man. And in fact, the first thing he said was, man shall not live by bread alone. So he's a man. But let me double check and ask another question. So you think about it. He's a prosecuting attorney. And you think about it. So here it is. He goes to the second level of questions now to see, well, okay, he's a man from what it seems. Because if he's God, you know, he could do that for this man. But let me ask him, maybe he's an angel. Okay, because angels can appear like men. Remember in Sodom and Gomorrah, those two angels that came there, they looked like men, right? And the angel that was wrestling with Jacob, you know, he was physically wrestling. So they look like men. So here is the devil now asking God a second question. I mean, he's trying to determine if he's God. But he poses it by using the term Son of God again. So he says, if you are the Son of God, remember it could mean either you're a human, you're an angel, or you're really the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels. You see how he's using Psalm 91, because he knows that he's wondering, could this be an angel? He said, he will command his angels concerning you, because angels, good angels, will want to help out other good angels. In fact, didn't Michael, the archangel, get help from other angels so that the two-thirds of the good angels were able to defeat the one-third of the bad angels? Well, the good angels will recruit the other good angels. So the devil's asking the question, using that term angel, to see, well, wait a second, are you an angel here? So he asks the question and says, you know, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, okay? And he says, for it is written, so he's quoting scripture, for he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands, the angels' hands, they will support you. In other words, you're one of our peers. You're one of our fellow good angels. I'm going to help you. Unless you dash your foot against a stone. Okay? And so this is where, Jesus answers back again. He answers back with scripture. So remember, the way to fight any temptations out there. So if you have problems with drinking, with drugs, with porn, with gambling, with being lazy, okay, just being filled with materialism, or just being a person that just wants to be entertained, or maybe you're just somebody that you go shopping or like to gossip, and that's what you really want to put your time and effort into. So the way to fight any of these temptations is really with scripture, and what I propose, because of the name of the best prayer ever, is the Our Father, to deliver us from the evil one. So Jesus answers, and it says, again, it is written, he fights back. Jesus fights back with scripture, okay? And so do this. And so what Jesus does is fight back with scripture, and he uses also Deuteronomy again. He goes down, instead of Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, he goes down to Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. Now, the devil was using Psalm 91, where he says he will give you his angels, right? Command his angels concerning you so that with their hands they will support you. Psalm 91, guess what? That's also a deliverance prayer. In fact, that Psalm 91 is powerful. That's what we use officially in the exorcism. Those are one of the prayers that we use officially in the exorcism, okay? That's what the devil was choosing against God. But then God will come back, and he's going to say something here later on. I'll share. I'm almost running out of time. But it says, so he responds from Deuteronomy 6:16. All right? And that, again, you should not put the Lord your God to the test. And the very last temptation now, so he says, and so God answers with Scripture, and so the devil doesn't know now, well, wait a second, I don't know if he's an angel, or I don't know if he's a man still. I haven't gotten anywhere yet. So he gives up on the term of asking him if you are the Son of God. So he goes next and just say, okay, wait. So man is very prideful, and they like glory. And same with the angels that followed him. They wanted their own glory, their own pride. So let me see if I can ask him the third and final question. And the third and final question is that the devil took him up on a high mountain, right, to show him all the kingdoms of the world. And then he said, all these I shall give you if you prostrate yourself and worship me. Because he knows that angels worship and humans worship, but at the same time, he wants to see, like, who, you know, like, who is his allegiance to? Because the second temptation was really a way to get people to notice him, because in the Jewish times, they thought that the Messiah would go in the temple and really get on the highest parts of the temple and get people's attention so they know he's the Messiah. So that's why he was brought to the, you know, parapet of the temple. Anyway, Jesus responds and says, get away from me, get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve. Now notice, the last word serve is the part that the devil doesn't want to do to God. Because we know what in Paradise Lost, that from Milton, right, it says that the devil became the devil with that famous words in Latin, non serviam, which means I will not serve. And so God himself, Jesus himself, uses this, and that's the last word he says to the devil, because the devil doesn't want to serve. He says, the Lord your God you shall worship, and him alone shall you serve. But the devil knows he didn't want to serve God. That's why he became the devil. And so, again, Jesus ended that duel in the desert, again, using Scripture, and now he used Deuteronomy 6 again, but he went ahead of it and went to Deuteronomy 6:13. So the three Scripture verses that Jesus used were all from Deuteronomy, okay? And so from the Torah, which was the summation of Moses, is like his farewell book or farewell speech to everybody. And so that's how he answered. So we can use Scripture to fight the devil, and that's what we should do in all our temptations. So the devil came away with nothing. He didn't know if Jesus was a man. He did not know if he was an angel, and he did not know he was God. In the same way, the devil himself will try to confuse us. Who are you? Are you just a human? Are you or a man of God or a woman of God? Or are you somebody playing on the devil's team, right? So you, whose team are you on? Are you on God's side or the devil's side? In fact, if you're sitting on the fence, you lost already. You know why? Because it's the devil owns that fence. He's the one that separated himself from heaven, from God. So don't even sit on the fence. If you're saying, well, I don't know if I believe in God, I don't know if I believe in heaven or hell, I'm on the fence, well, that belongs to the devil. Anyway, time's up for me. God bless you, everybody. This is Dr. Anton signing off here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered on WTMR 800 AM. God bless you all. Have a good evening.